This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations. No matter why you give, your donations can do so much more. With a donor-advised fund from DAF Giving 360, you can potentially grow your charitable dollars tax-free and give now or over time by donating cash, publicly traded securities, or non-cash assets like real estate and crypto. With over 25 years of expertise bringing donors, financial advisors, and charities together, DAF Giving 360 can help you make a greater impact. Learn more at DAFGiving360.org.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
All right, here we go on a Tuesday. It's Cody and Gold, Alex Gold, Cody Tapp, Drew Nixon with you. Coming up in 30 minutes, we'll be joined by Danan Hughes, Chiefs color analyst. Of course, during the football season, he'll join us each and every Thursday, but it's been a while since we checked in with Danan, the former Chiefs wide receiver. He, of course, has been on the call for the first two Chiefs preseason games. Want to get his perspective on what he's seen out there, plus obviously his take on the wide receiver room, depending on time frame for Rashee Rice suspension. So a lot to get into with Danan Hughes. And in 1 hour from now, we'll check in with Cody Decker from BetMGM Network. Obviously, spent some time in the Royals organization as well. Has been on various national platforms throughout his career. Want to get his take on where the Royals sit, which is where we start. It's not just that they get game one of a series against the Rangers. It's not just that they're 3.5 back in the wild card race.
Which is not much different than four, which is what they've been for what seems like a month.
But suddenly, they're 3.5 back from everybody that occupies three wild card spots. That's the difference. You're right. It's the same amount of games that they have been in this 3-5 range. I don't know, for 2 months it feels like
an eternity.
You know,
it genuinely feels like an eternity.
Now it's not 3.5 just from the Mariners in the final wild card spot. It's 3.5 from any of the three teams that currently occupy wild card spots.
Which means you only need one of them to play bad, not the right team to play bad. Because for a while it was like 7 games, 5 games, 4 games. Or 6, 5.5, 4. Somebody was always at 4, someone was always at 6, and somebody was in that 5.5 to 6 range outside of that. So as those things continued, it constantly got stuck in this nonsensical limbo where this team was nowhere. But the fact that all three wildcard teams are the identical spot, and the Royals are as close to the top wildcard spot as they are to get into the playoffs, I got to think increases the likelihood of them being a playoff team by a few percentage points at least. Like, in your brain, you got to be thinking 5% at least better chance they are a playoff team as a result of the fact that they now have a chance to surpass any of the three teams. And like I said, that means only one has to get cold. This goes back to the CAG stuff we'd mentioned yesterday. This is part of the reason they have not been super fast or are not going to be super fast. And this is the team's got good flow right now. And I think because of that, they look like the team we thought they were going to be a huge chunk of the year.
Yeah, now look, this is everything that it took to get to this point. You know, they're 10-6 since the deadline. They're 25-15 since July 1. They've got a plus 34 run differential since July 1st. All of that is how they're even in this spot. So what I'm getting at is, and why we keep breaking it down in these 7-game chunks, it still applies. We said at minimum during this 7, now 6 games left of the 7 streak, they have to go at minimum 4-3. Okay, they got the first one. It's a good step. This has to be foot on the gas still the rest of the way for them to still have a chance. It's great that they now are within 3.5 of three teams. That's a plus. That's a positive. But they're in the same spot of, hey, they can't suddenly just drop two in a row to the Rangers and then be looking at the Tigers coming to town and then all of a sudden lose on Friday. And then they've lost four in a row just like that. And they're back to 5 back. And we're back in the same spot. They have to consistently win series especially
and slowly catch up by the end of next week. Can you be 2.5 back?
The good news is if you win this series against the Rangers, I do think you can bury the Rangers, and at least you don't have to worry about them factoring into this equation. The Rangers are now 6 back. So can you win this series against the Rangers, which means take one of the next two, right? I think this is a 3-game series or 4-game series. I'm sorry.
4 against the Rangers.
Okay. So obviously you've already taken game one. Can you win this series? Worst case now, of course, is a split, but I think you need a series win now that you got game one, and you have Seth Lugo, who we'll talk about in the bump tonight. You need him to return to Seth Lugo form from a month ago versus what he's been the last 3 times out. But I think we all acknowledge, as exciting as it is to see the updated standings and the teams, you know, that everybody knows that this is just the beginning. They still have to play at a basically 10 game above 500 pace or so the rest of the way.
Yeah. And to your point, and like, I understand this idea of like, we've got to say somewhere near the number that we've continued to talk about, at least for now. But you're right. At some point, they got to start catching up. And the fact that the Rangers, I think, don't matter, because if the Rangers catch you, you were never making the playoffs anyway. Like, that's the way. With 6 games to go, and that, like, 6 games to go in the amount of time they have remaining, they weren't catching you anyway, so who cares?
Yeah, 6
right?
games back. Yeah.
Or 6 games back, not to go. 6 games back with this time to go, and 3 other teams in wild card spots that are good baseball teams, those weren't going to be the ones that hold you back outside of it. And we've given the stats, right? Since the All-Star break, they have one of the better run differentials in baseball. They're averaging 5.5 or 5.25 runs a game, which would be one of the better offenses in baseball. They're obviously playing. We had said this before. After the All-Star break, they were going to have to play, we said, like 15, 20 games above 500. They're 10 games above 500 since July 1st, Gold. So they are the kind of team who's accomplishing the stuff they have to accomplish in order to stay in the mix. And I got to imagine this is the peak of their confidence this year. Like, if I'm walking into the building and I'm Vinny and I'm Salvi and I'm the starting pitching, this is the most confident I would have been at any particular time. I guess the question is still, and we talked about this, which of these teams can we count on to lose? Like, of the teams who currently possess a wild card spot, historically,
the Mariners are more likely to, if you just believe in, like, oh, they're just kind of a cursed franchise.
They went for the Mariners more in the trade department.
I like what they did at the deadline. But if you're from a historical context, you would say the Mariners are going to be the team that falls off. Based off of what I've seen this year,
Yankees?
The Yankees, it's the Yankees, so we give them a little more credit. But in general, they have not played well all year. They just have been able to stay afloat, you know, with the fact that Aaron Judge for a while was playing like an MVP.
Cal Raleigh might win it now.
Yeah, Cal Raleigh? How about that?
What could you have got that before the season, by the way?
I looked it up at one point in time. I don't know the number. It was a conversation we've had before. I can't remember.
Before the season, it had to be 10,000 to 1. I don't know.
Cal Raleigh preseason MVP odds. What's your guess?
10,000 to 1 before the season? I mean, I don't. I mean, it had to be the longest of long shots. Maybe that's too far, but
here we go. Minus, is that 100,000? Is that 100,000?
100,000 to 1?
It was plus 100,000.
Plus 100,000. Okay, so pretty long odds.
Is that right?
Got it.
I think that's right.
Yeah, that sounds right.
How many zeros?
5 zeros if you're doing 100,000.
10,000.
Okay, 10,000 to 1. 4 zeros. 10,000, just like I said.
10,000 to 1.
10,000 to 1 is what he was to win the MVP.
No.
Insane.
If you're plus, anyway.
It's a plus 10,000, you're 100
to 1. It's 100 to 1.
That's still not. Why are we not getting 100 to 1 or 1,000 to 1? I don't, whatever.
It's 100 to 1.
The point is, I'm just saying, like, why wasn't he getting more than 100 to 1?
Because they're not going to give exposure to that. I mean, it's still a big league player. Like
Cal Raleigh, he's a big league player, but he had no business winning the MVP this year outside of it. They don't have, and I was looking at their schedule because there is a part of me that's like, okay, how can you catch up with these teams? The Tigers, you're 9 games back. I'm not entertaining that conversation. You can't catch up with them.
I agree.
The Angels are behind you in the standings. The Twins are behind you in the standings. So for the team you're half game back, you got 4 games left against the Guardians. The only other team who is ahead of them in the schedule, who is actually on their calendar for the rest of 2025, is the Mariners for 3 games. So of all the teams, I'll say, Gold, that I'm following closely now the rest of the way, the Mariners are the one I hope they stay the closest to. If they're going to be only a game back of one of them, let it be the Mariners, because then halfway through September, you can actually do something about it. You can still, and truth is, just as long as you're within 3 games.
Last homestand of the year.
You can still do something. Yeah, you can still do something about it. You have the Mariners for 3. Can't catch the Yankees, can't do anything about it. Like, you can, but like, you can't do anything about it. You can just play your games and play your schedule and hope for the best. But like, you can't actively catch any team but Seattle. It's been, honestly, very fun to watch this team for the last like month.
Well, as we said, the last year's kind of slogan was the boys are playing some ball. That's what they're doing here the last couple of weeks. And since the deadline, and since July 1st from an offensive perspective, and that's why they're in the position that they are. We'll get back into the Royals with Cody Decker coming up at 11 o'clock today. I want to get his perspective. Does he actually believe the Royals can catch some of these teams? What does he make of the AL wildcard, which is now, I'm not going to say it's wide open for every single team, but it certainly is a jumbled mess for all three wildcard spots at this point.
For someone briefly asking, do any of these teams over on the text line, good question, 913, do any of these teams actually play each other?
Well, the Yankees and Red Sox definitely
Yankees
do.
And Red Sox play four games against each other this weekend. The Yankees and, is it the Astros who are leading their division? Or
the Astros are up in the West. The Mariners are the wild card.
So they face the Astros. They face Toronto. They face who lead the division. They face the Red Sox seven times. That's it. That's the only team they face. They don't face Seattle again. They don't face the other wildcard team again.
But. You guys can interact with us on the Jay Southland Toast Service text line, 913-586-7965. I believe Drew's got the video stream up and running, Facebook, YouTube, Twitch. Make sure you subscribe on YouTube. That way you don't miss any of the shows here on 96.5 The Fan. Let's talk a little Chiefs football for a bit, because yesterday towards the end of the show, you heard from Andy Reid. He spoke, and he was talking about, of course, the injury to Felix, which kind of took a good chunk of the show yesterday. FAU, by the way, after the show, was officially placed on the IR, so that did happen, and you could tell it was likely to happen based on what Andy had to say with that hamstring strain. But he also was talking about the offensive line, what he saw from Josh Simmons, what he's seen from Kingsley Suamataia, and I thought this part of what he said about Kingsley, concerning, certainly frustrating. I think, listen to how he described the performance from Kingsley so far.
Kingsley's moved into a new position, and those two are, they got a little something going there that you can see it more in the run game right now, where they're really working well together. And then the pass game, both of them are kind of feeling that part out, but they're doing a good job with it. We've been able to get some games in there against them. I thought they handled that well last week. Some of the blitz stuff, so Kingsley had a couple trip up where the back stepped up and he tripped over somebody's foot there, back's foot. But other than that, he did a pretty good job there.
He starts off the cut there saying, he's learning a new position, which is a fact. He is learning a new position, but do you think
learning it week 17 last year?
Do you think that the Chiefs are treating this like essentially another rookie season for Kingsley because of that? And if that's the case, does that mean he gets the week one start and we could be sitting here in week three and they pull him again and it's all of a sudden Caliendo? Jalen Moore's gotten reps there, we know. I would be fine with just playing Jalen Moore there, but I think they like they want Jalen Moore to be flexible if they have an issue at left or right tackle. And I don't think they want to have to move the guard and the tackle in the same game, let's say, if there's a problem.
I think they're genuinely trying to prepare us for this is rookie year Kingsley. Am I supposed to just blindly accept that?
No, you should be frustrated by that.
Because
it is a new position, but
there's a part of me that he is kind of like, he's never played guard in his entire life. He's been a tackle since high school, man. That's not been a spot for him. He's been a tackle. But like anchor point in block sets in the passing game. Look, I don't want to oversimplify. You got to block similar, don't you? You got to put your feet in the ground a similar way. Now you're telling me what? Look, if he misses a gap assignment on a run play, I actually do think that we can teach he's a guard. You got to get through to the second level a lot of times as a guard. You got to kind of move in different spots. I'd actually be more forgiving of a mistake like that. Being able to physically just handle someone in a block, that's not rookie year stuff. That's like you've been blocking people your whole life. There's a skill set to how you stop people from getting through you. Figure out a way to slow this down. I think they want us to treat it like it's a rookie year, and we should accept the ebbs and flows of a young player trying to figure out how to play in the NFL. But the last time they did that with him, they benched him before we even got a month into the season. So how short is his rope?
On one hand, I should be frustrated by it. On the other hand, I guess this organization, this coaching staff has shown they're willing to pull somebody if the performance is not there. Like there's some organizations that would have said, hey, we drafted him here. Like we're sticking with him. We're not going to make a shift. A switch. We talked about that last season. They were in a three-peat campaign. They were going to do anything possible to get to the Super Bowl, right? And obviously,
but I mean, they're going to treat this year similar-ish,
and they
right?
Are. I guess what I'm saying, though, is I'm frustrated, but I guess I'm not as worried by it, because if the performance is not there, I believe this coaching staff is more than willing to then pull Kingsley in week three, if that's what it is, or week five, or week seven, whenever, if the performance is not up to their standard. and Patrick Mahomes therefore gets frustrated, because that's the other part of this, is if it's actually causing your quarterback to not perform, to be frustrated, obviously injury risk, all that, that's when you have to make the move. And that's what I think actually happened by week two last year. It's like it was not only becoming a very frustrating thing for Patrick Mahomes, clearly, but it was also an injury concern for your quarterback.
I guess
if it ever gets to that, I mean, left guard, you're not as exposed, clearly as a left tackle. It's weird because Kingsley in the run, we mentioned the run grade and PFF stuff yesterday. Run wise, he actually looks really, really good, like really good as a run blocker. But this is an offense in the NFL in 2025. As important as run blocking is, we know that
Andy Reid offense.
I would rather be the other way around. I would rather find out, the run blocking, not great, but he's amazing at pass blocking.
Like, fine, we'll run to the right.
It's reverse, though. That's the problem.
We'll run behind Trey Smith. We'll solve the problem
that way.
Why
do you think... I know Andy only wants to play the ones, even all line like a series or two, and maybe it's more than... But if we all are admitting, if Andy's even saying, he's learning a new position... Why is he not out there longer? Why is he not the one guy that actually gets way more reps?
He should play the entire game.
At least a half. I don't need that to be the whole game.
It can be the game.
Yeah, there's an injury risk thing there. I need a whole half at minimum. He's getting one drive, two drives.
Andy's entire sentence has been, oh man, these reps are so important for him. So important. Do you know how many reps he's taken in the preseason so far? 20.
Yeah, not many
at
all.
He's taken 20 competitive snaps in pregame. That's not even close.
At a new position.
He's a rookie at a new position, and you're telling me the man's got to learn the spot? Well, then get his ass out there.
I agree.
For a huge chunk of the game. And Simmons, too, for that matter. I understand the injury, but like, you got to put the injury risk to bed. This man's played the entire time you guys have been there. It's not time to mess around. It's time to get them ready for the regular season. I do think, unlike though last year, I do think that they'll exercise a little more patience. I think that if Kingsley's struggling at left guard, they'll give him more time.
I think it depends how Simmons is playing, too. Like, in a weird way, like, what's the left side of the line looking like? Is it a disaster, or is it like, no, Simmons is that good. We think Creed Humphrey can help out Kingsley, right? Because Creed's that good. So certainly in run stuff, you're going to have Kingsley getting assisted by Creed even more, and maybe that helps the entire situation and buys you some more time, I guess.
You're right to that point, like, as in... depending on what Simmons does. I just think that they're going to show a lot more patience, because I do think they treated last year different than I've seen them treat any year roster-wise. They were more aggressive in the moves, more aggressive in moving people around, changing corners, changing linemen. They did more in that than I've seen them do, trades, DeAndre, and all of it. They were putting every thing in the basket to try to win it. And I think part of that, that's why they didn't screw around with Kingsley. I think they thought they needed to get the one seed. They didn't even want to let a single game slip away, Gold. I think he'd get at least half the season. Does that feel right? But half the season as a starter, even if he's struggling?
I mean, if he's as bad as he was at tackle, no. I don't think they give him half the season. I also think he won't. I mean, given the position and also how good he's looked in run blocking, I think he would last much longer than 2 or 3 weeks. I'm just a little surprised. Like, in the text line, somebody said, hey, they clearly think he's better than Caliendo. Yeah, that goes back to the whole thing last year, right? They clearly thought he was better than Wanye, and obviously that wasn't the case. Not that Wanye was good, but you know what I'm saying? Like, just that doesn't necessarily mean they... I think you can see why they like Kingsley. You can see why they drafted him. Like, everybody talks about the athleticism, but he's very raw. And when you see... even in a limited snaps in preseason, especially on a run play, you can see, wow, okay, that's why they drafted him. Like, he looks impressive.
Athlete.
He's got some strength. Yeah. He's athletic, all that kind of stuff. So that's why they're giving him every opportunity. I think you and I are just saying, if you're acknowledging it's a new position, if we're acknowledging that last year was a massive struggle and disappointment for him at the tackle spot, now he moves over to guard, why not give him some increased reps in the preseason to get him more confident and comfortable? Hopefully that happens on Friday night against the Bears.
Even without Patrick Mahomes. I don't care if it means more plays for Patrick Mahomes. Let's say Patrick Mahomes is going to play a quarter. Give him a half. Give the starting offensive line a half. Injury risk is going to happen no matter what. We're talking about one additional quarter of football for a team that plays 20 damn games every year. 21 games every year, however many it takes. Yeah. Whatever the maximum number of games is, that's how many the Chiefs play every single year. And so, I understand, that's not going to be the bender break point. Versus their health. It might be that they don't have to start as slow if they get those snaps for Kingsley and Simmons in particular.
Yeah. So someone says, if you got nothing out of Andy Reid in the Kingdom documentary, it's don't judge. Yeah. That doesn't mean that, that every decision is just 100% and, there can't be any questioning of how they operate. Like that's not what that means. It doesn't mean don't judge. So anything they do is 100% correct every single time. And there's no criticism. There's no questioning.
Andy's
none of
never
that.
Sat in a meeting and yeah, said, you like, did what? This route wrong.
What? I don't think that's what don't judge meant. If you watch the documentary, it wasn't that nothing we do could ever be changed.
All sunshine and rainbows.
Yeah,
you can have bad decisions. You can make bad decisions and bad picks and still end up winning a Super Bowl. It's possible.
Yeah,
if you're a good organization and the Chiefs are.
We'll talk to Danon Hughes here in about 10 minutes. We'll get his perspective on Kingsley. We'll get his perspective, obviously, on the wide receiver room and where things are at with Rashee Rice in just a little bit. We learned today something we were already planning on talking about was the quarterback battles that are going to probably be resolved this week. We had Joe Flacco get named the starter week one for the Browns. I don't know what, 25 minutes ago, 35 minutes ago, Cody, we learned that Daniel Jones will be the week one starter for the Colts. We were already planning on discussing what should the Colts do. I'm not saying Daniel Jones is good by any means, okay? But I think if you're a Colts fan for this year, not big picture, because big picture, Anthony Richardson wouldn't have been hurt as much as he already has been. And Anthony Richardson wouldn't have pulled himself out of the game. He'd be your franchise quarterback already. That would be the perfect scenario. He's clearly not that guy yet or ever. We'll see. Daniel Jones gives him a better chance to win games this year. I think that's something that we've discussed a few times, actually, going back to summer. There was a bet you could have made for him to be the week one star, and he was plus money. It didn't make any sense. Daniel Jones gives him a better chance week one. Does that mean he'll be the starter all year? I have no idea. In fact, I'd probably guess that the answer is no. But if you think the Colts have any chance to push for a wild card spot and surprise people as a 9 or 10 win team, the only chance of that happening is with Daniel Jones. And you have a head coach that's job is on the line this year, too.
This is the problem. That is more the issue for me, because this is the difference between actual player on the field versus management. Because I'm not saying start Anthony Richardson, because in truth, you don't actually want to win 9 games, and instead you should want to lose to draft a quarterback that might actually make you better, which I do believe is at least somewhat true if you're the Colts. But Chris Ballard could lose his job if this team stinks again. The
fans have been calling for his job.
Well, he's had a chance to choose
job for a long time now.
I've never seen a GM have a chance to choose this many quarterbacks. It's unbelievable. He's chosen 18 different starting quarterbacks for the Colts and still has the job. It's nuts. You usually get like 2 bites at that apple and then they fire you. And he's legitimately probably started like 10 different guys. But the problem is I think Chris Ballard's in the same spot as a coach, because otherwise I would start Anthony Richardson, because Anthony Richardson is the worst player, Gold, who you will win less games with. But Anthony Richardson is the only chance of these two guys to just unlock something that actually makes him a qualified NFL starter for multiple years. That ain't Daniel Jones.
Yeah.
That ship has sailed. That's a placeholder. And it's a placeholder that makes me harder to get the guy I actually want. And so I would probably just play pure upside if I were the Colts. But because Ballard and the head coach both have a chance to lose your job.
I think Anthony Richardson is terrible. So
saying the upside isn't there because you're getting stakes.
I think Anthony Richardson's not going to pan out to be anything.
Which is why I think they actually should play him, because what they're going to do is the Colts are going to be in the same position they were with Phillip Rivers and Matt Ryan and Carson Wentz. They're going to be a 7-9 win team. They might make the playoffs, but they shatter any chance that they have of getting a top quarterback.
Right. I don't disagree, but as we said, if you're Chris Ballard, if you're Shane Steichen, you're trying to save your job. You know, if you have a 5-win season, you're both gone. I agree with you. From a fan perspective, I would rather them do exactly what you're saying.
It's the same spot they were in 5 years ago. Sure. It's like ever since Andrew Luck retired suddenly out of the blue,
and we're
they've
far
just
enough
been
removed.
They've been in a constant loop of the same thing over again.
We're far enough removed, right? I understand Chris Ballard was put in a tough spot when he took over with the Luck situation. That was an awful spot.
But it
has been way too many years for that to be used as an excuse still.
Since then, yes.
6 or 7 years.
Yeah, it's been a while.
Since then, here's the quarterbacks that have started since Andrew Luck surprise retired on him. Brissett, Hoyer. Okay, that's the Andrew Luck year. Tough. Really tough. Rivers, Wentz, Ryan, Sam Ehlinger, Nick Foles, Gardner Minshew, Anthony Richardson, Joe Flacco, and now Daniel Jones. No offense, he keeps doing the same stupid plan.
Same old
Phillip Rivers, Carson Wentz, Matt Ryan, Nick Foles, Gardner Minshew, Joe Flacco,
President, try to go
and
Kirk
now
Cousins.
Daniel Jones. Hey, man, I know you don't like drafting quarterbacks. T- tough.
Evidently, they aren't very good at it either, though, because Anthony Richardson, in fairness to him, he was in the same draft as Bryce Young and T.J. Stroud. They got the lesser of the quarterbacks. But this year,
aging quarterbacks to play good football.
I mean, look, I think starting Daniel Jones is the correct decision. If I'm Chris Ballard, that's exactly what I would have done heading into week one.
To protect my job, it probably is.
I think they're a better football team. If the ultimate, like, if we're just talking about 2025, not big picture, if the goal is to win as many games as possible in 2025, and I would say that's the goal for most GMs, Daniel Jones is the correct decision. And to me, wasn't that hard of a decision.
I just think if my job was safe, I would have started Anthony Richardson. And I would have taken, and you're right, Cole, I actually don't disagree with you. I don't think there's some secret mediocre quarterback hiding in Anthony Richardson a la Geno Smith, and Baker Mayfield, he just needs to be in the right situation. I don't see that at the moment, right? But it's Daniel Jones is done. Like, we know what he is. There is no story left to be told there. Like, with Anthony Richardson, even if it's a 2%, there's like a 2% chance that there's like a hidden quarterback in there. And if I knew my job was safe, it is what I would do. But like, I get how the Colts come to that decision between Ballard and Sikin and their job security and
so
all these
what's
other
best,
things.
Like, for me, best case scenario, Daniel Jones this year for the Colts.
I don't know, nine wins.
Oh yeah, that too. I agree. For him, I think if everything went right, he's like the 17th best quarterback.
Yeah, probably.
If everything went right.
It feels high.
Unless I'm saying everything goes right. I'm not saying like that's like
you have Jonathan Taylor there, you know, you have
Pittman's obviously legit. Adonai Mitchell, we'll see if he takes a
Alec Pierce is solid, but he can't stay healthy. If he can stay healthy, maybe. You know, he's a good number two or three.
Yeah.
The offensive line, they're in a crappy division.
The offensive line, they have Quentin Nelson and guy and company.
They're in a bad division. I think they are. We can look it up later on the show, what their win total is and whether we would take the. I'll look at the official number. We'll find that out.
Probably about 6 or 7.5.
If it's 6.5, I would. If I had to take, I don't think I'm rushing to go make a bet on the Colts anyway. But if I had to make a bet on the Colts and you told me it was actually 6.5, I would take the over. I really would. If it was anything above 7.5, I would.
As of 2 weeks ago, it was 7.5. Let me find this old article.
So we're gonna get to a break. We'll look that up during the break. Up next, Danen Hughes, former Chiefs wide receiver, color analyst for the Chiefs Radio Network, is going to join us. We'll get his perspective on what he's seen throughout preseason and what timeline would be best for the Chiefs if, in fact, Rashee Rice ends up getting.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. No matter why you give, your donations can do so much more. With a donor-advised fund from DAF Giving 360, you can potentially grow your charitable dollars tax-free and give now or over time by donating cash, publicly traded securities, or non-cash assets like real estate and crypto. With over 25 years of expertise bringing donors, financial advisors, and charities together, DAF Giving 360 can help you make a greater impact. Learn more at DAFGiving360.org.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Game day or any day, your fit says it all. Hit up MLBShop.com for the latest jerseys, caps, hoodies, and accessories to keep you in the game all year long. Rep your team. Rep your city. Rep yourself. Gear up and game on at MLBShop.com, the official online shop of Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
The longer suspension. Don't forget, coming up in a few weeks out at Hollywood Casino, it's the Red Roundtable with Mitch Holthus and Dane and Hughes. Friday, August 29th, starts at 6 o'clock there at Hollywood Casino. It is free, open to the public. You'd have to be 21 or older to enter. It's going to be a great Q&A right before the start of the Chiefs football season, plus a meet and greet. Talk to Mitch and Dane, and thinking of Dane and Hughes. He's going to join us throughout the football season on Thursdays, but we said, you know what? Let's get him on a Tuesday. It's been a while since we checked in with the former Chiefs wide receiver and, of course, the color analyst for the Chiefs Radio Network. Dane, and it's good to have you on the show, my man. I should say Mr. Yingling himself, Dane and Hughes.
There you go, man. Yingling is definitely in full effect. You guys saw the pictures,
yeah.
And they're going to have a big promotion deal, so I'm really, really excited and happy to be a part of it. As you know, you guys especially, probably more so than me, but I think back to my playing days where you're approached from different angles and different people. Some things, I'm a very picky eater, so it wouldn't necessarily be a relationship for any kind of food for me, unless it's a specific food that I eat all the time. But I actually have been more excited because Yingling is a beer that I actually drink. The Yingling Flight is my favorite beer, so it's really cool. A great shout out to Ainsley and Derek and Roxanne and everybody that made it happen with Odyssey and Jacob with Yingling. So it's cool. I've already gotten a bunch of friends and family from Jersey. I got some former Chiefs that asked me, they want me to like drop off cases.
Yeah, I was gonna say,
on their doorstep. like you know my former teammates, they're always thinking about themselves, you know. That's how those guys are.
Yeah, so just ignore the ones from Sean Barber. Everybody else take care of. Sean Barber, I don't know if you should.
Oh. That's automatic. I totally ignore. I block him halfway through most texts anyway, so it's all good.
Do we need to cancel the season already, Danon? The Chiefs are 0-2, so we're barreling towards 0-17. I saw people freak out over a beatdown in a preseason game, and then I watched the Bills lose 33-0. I was like, do you need to know more? Or because this is not how the regular season games are going to go.
Yeah, I think more is put on the preseason. I think, here's what I will say. It goes to show you the height and level of expectations that this Chiefs team has and the Chiefs organization has set. The standard has been set so high that we actually have part of our fan base that get upset about preseason games. Like, I think there's some good in that, but then there's also some not so good in that. So I'm looking at the good side of, we have set the bar so high that there are fans that literally expect us to win every single game. Practice, scrimmage, shells, shorts. Every time the Chiefs take the field and there's a red helmet with the emblem on it, we're supposed to actually dominate. And to some extent, that's cool. But then you also have to have a reality check and understanding that the starters haven't played. We were 0-3 last year in the preseason and still had the best regular season record and made it to the Super Bowl. So once you start to breathe, exhale a little bit, Chiefs Kingdom, and realize that these are just practices and we have a bigger plan than most teams. There are teams out there that actually, and organizations, and more importantly, coaches and players specifically, that are leaning heavily on winning preseason games because maybe their job depends on it. And we're not in that position. So that's a luxury.
We're talking to Dane and Hughes here on 96.5 The Fan. I want to get to the offensive line in a little bit, but you're a former wide receiver, so let's start with the receiving room. And who has stood out the most to you? We saw you up at camp. We certainly been talking about a few guys. Who stood out the most when you were watching some of those practices and obviously being there the last couple weeks in the preseason?
I obviously always like to look at the guys that are down on the depth chart. I mean, that was me for most of my career, being a fourth receiver, third, fourth, fifth receiver, special teams, knucklehead that made his way in the league for 6 years. So my eyes always gravitate to the Brownlees and the Thorntons that are at the bottom of that roster that are trying to clamber to that one or two possible receiving spots. I think those guys have made the best of their opportunities, but we also have to factor in assembling a roster, you guys know this, it's not so much about who's the best receiver in the preseason that can fill that fourth, fifth, or sixth slot. It could possibly be the best receiver that would be accepting of the fourth, fifth, or sixth slot and accepting and willing to participate in special teams a bulk of their time. There have been times around the NFL, not just with the Chiefs, throughout history, where the best receivers did not make the team because they would be the guys that might sulk on the sideline, might be a negative energy to the locker room because they think they should be playing more as wide receiver as opposed to accepting the role that's given to them until their opportunity presents itself. And those are the guys that you have to be able to sort through to be able to have a complete locker room for a championship effort. But those two guys at the wide receiver position, to me, I like Nico Remigio. I think he's garnered a lot of confidence, not just in his return ability, but being that guy that can be dependable as a third or fourth receiver, two-minute drill, driving down the field at the end of a half or the end of a game, and you need multiple guys on the field, Rashee Rice being suspended, who's going to be that guy that will accept that role? So I like those three that jump out to me.
Where do you rank this receiver unit on paper compared to previous years? Like, where does it fall in the midst? Now, I understand part of that is not knowing how long and when Rashee Rice could possibly be suspended, but like just on paper, the Hollywood, Rashee Rice, Xavier Worthy, where is it amongst Andy Reid's best or worst wide receiver units?
The jury's still out for me, and that's an honest assessment. One, we haven't played multiple games together. Like, we can look at last year and get a snapshot of what could have been, but we didn't have Hollywood Brown early in the season. When we finally got him back, he wasn't necessarily 100%. We didn't have Rashee Rice. I think they are capable, and Andy Reid has said it, this team, this wide receiving group, is capable of being the best he's ever coached. That's a tall task and high praise. But I still have to see it. Like, to me, we haven't seen them in the preseason games. We haven't seen them assembled together. We haven't seen them all healthy. It's tough to look at the Legion of Zoom that won that Super Bowl in the 2019 season and say that this group is better, but I'm waiting to see that because they had a different complement. Obviously with Tyreek Hill, you had Sammy Watkins that was a more bigger physical receiver. Like, I think that dynamic was different, but I'm excited about this wide receiving crew. If they can stay healthy and Patrick Mahomes has the confidence in him like he did with them, it's going to be something special.
Talking to Danan Hughes, former Chiefs wide receiver, of course, part of the Chiefs radio network right here on 96.5 The Fan. Rashee Rice, none of us know how this is going to all play out ultimately, the timing, the length of suspension, but what's your, I guess, take on how it could impact the season? You know, are you looking at, hey, the fact that he's available, at least as of now, for week one and that first four games is a real positive? Do you think later in the year is going to be more problematic to miss him? How do you see that potentially playing out?
I think it all depends on how long the suspension is. I do believe that it is definitely a benefit for the Chiefs to have had the services of Rashee Rice since he's been cleared through OTAs, minicamp, training camp, preseason, and to know or at least have a strong feeling that you're going to have him for those first 4 weeks. That's great progression from that point. It wasn't like he was kind of hit or miss during training camp and being held out and working on the side with Rick Burkholder or whatever. He was practicing like everybody else. So it can only be a benefit from that standpoint. But if you get the hammer dropped down on an 8-game or a 10-game suspension, and now after week four, that's when the hammer drops, and you're not going to see him until December and into January, that can be a whole different dynamic that we'll have to deal with. So I feel like it's a good thing to start the season off being able to have all your your bullets in your chamber. But let's see how it all transpires with his appeal. And for the record, all of the idiots, and I know Nick Wright pointed some out with Pro Football Talk, like, there's a process. It is not any preferential treatment for the Chiefs. It is also not a negative to the Chiefs. There's a process in the appellate direction that you have to go through with any fine, with any suspension, and that's what he's exhausting. And I give him credit for that, because just to accept your punishment without going through that appellate process would be dumb on his part as well.
When you look at the left side of the offensive line, where's your confidence level there? We understand it was messy for a good chunk of last year when they had to bump Joe Tooney out to left tackle, an unnatural position. And now it feels like Andy is already talking about Kingsley as a guy who is, he's talking like him, like he's a rookie because he's learning left guard. And outside of that, like, how comfortable are you with the left side of the line? Do we need to give Kingsley more leeway than previous thought?
I think we definitely need to give Kingsley more leeway because he's moving interior. It might be a little easier for him. Doesn't mean it's going to be easy, but it's going to be a little easier for him because he's not totally out in space. And you don't have to deal with the athleticism that you have to deal with at the tackle position with all the outside linebackers and defensive ends, the talent that's at that position every single game. I was looking through the schedule last week thinking, okay, is there a time where Josh Simmons and Juwan Taylor are going to have a relatively easier week? Not easy, but easier. And there's not. They're going to face a gauntlet of outside linebackers and rushers throughout the season. And to think that Kingsley is now isolated a little bit less inside, it's going to have the help of Creed Humphrey, going to have the help of Josh Simmons on that side. I think that's going to help him. And then to think that Josh Simmons is going to come in and be Willie Rofe, that would be a misnomer. He's going to go through some growing pains. He's going to be put on skates at times, and we're just going to have to hope that Patrick is able to make plays off of that. But it's a growing process, and it's going to be a marathon, not a sprint. But I'm encouraged to have that left side be as young, as inexperienced as they are, but have garnered the confidence to the level of Andy Reid. To me, that should tell everybody in the Chiefs kingdom that we're going to be okay.
Before we let you go, I'm sure we'll talk to you before the start of the season, but are you and Mitch working on some Portuguese already for week one in Brazil?
I'm sure Mitch is. You know how he is. He's got everything down. So I would not be surprised to hear anything in that opening part of the broadcast or throughout the broadcast from Mitch that is in Portuguese. For me, I'm just trying to master the English language. Like, I'm still a work in progress, fellas. So, but we're going to have fun. It's going to be exciting. A long trip. The one thing you can guarantee that Josh Klingler and I will sleep most of the
time. I remember from the Germany trip, I heard you slept the entire way.
I slept 10 and a half hours of the 11 hours going,
insane.
And 9.5 hours of the 11 hours
that's
coming back.
Perfect.
So it's an art that I've definitely mastered, and I plan on applying that when we're going to Brazil. So, but I'm excited about it. A interdivision rival that we're going to play over there. It should be fun.
There you go. Danen Hughes, former Chiefs wide receiver, our Chiefs color analyst for the Chiefs Radio Network, will be joining us throughout the football season. Always good to catch up with Danen. And I do remember that from last time where I would be jealous of it. 10-hour flight and you can sleep for 95% of it. You just wake up and you're there.
I wish I was exaggerating. I don't think I've slept for 10 and a half hours straight in 20 years. I can't tell you.
Yeah,
the last time I slept for 10 and a half consecutive hours.
Yeah. We've done some red eye flights back from Vegas before, and in fairness, you're running on some adrenaline there.
Yeah.
And the team just won
the
Super
Bowl.
The team just won the Super Bowl, so it's a little bit different. But in general, even on those red eye flights, I can nod out for like 35, 40 minutes at a time, max. You know, and then all of a sudden, like, you wake up and, like, you know, your head pops back into the ceiling.
Like, oh, what happened?
You're just like,
yeah,
it's the worst. That's not really sleeping. I remember Danen said, and I remember the Kling was joking about, like, he's out. He'll be out
Does
quick.
Does he pop to Ambien?
I don't know.
Is this medically aided, or does he just have the natural God-given ability?
Even if it is medically,
to sleep for 10.5 hours.
Even if it is medically aided, that's the way to do it, man. You're going across the globe, and you just wake up, and everybody else is miserable for a 10-hour flight, nice. And you're good to go.
I'd have to pop like half a dozen Benadryl to even get close to that.
I don't know if there's some sleep aid going on or what, but anyway, thanks for joining us, Dane and Hughes. He'll be joining us typically Thursdays, 10:30, 11 o'clock throughout. The football season. And, you know, the point about the offensive line with Kingsley, you and I were starting the show with it, is like, yeah, like I don't think anybody views that like Kingsley should step in and be an all pro.
But he should be serviceable already.
You know, the treating it like a rookie year, I don't know.
I don't want to be in that camp because this team can go, and here's the problem. I'm pretty confident now Rashee Rice is going to miss like a third of the season at some point.
I think it's six or more, yeah.
Which means they're going to need the offensive line to be good so that they're not, because they're going to once again be missing for the second consecutive years, a huge chunk of the time, their number one wide receiver. And only their number one wide receiver if, fingers crossed, Hollywood Brown stays healthy for the first time in 4 years. And you don't get unlucky with any other injury. Like last year, you managed to keep Xavier Worthy healthy or everyone else. Like, we're like, if during the time Rashee Rice is gone, you're one injury away from the same thing you were like. It's like Nico Remigio and Tyquan Thornton getting passes, and you're asking if DeAndre Hopkins is still on the street. He's not, by the way. I think he's on with Baltimore or whoever.
Yeah, he's on Baltimore.
But like, you get the point, is that you're just like, you're back there in the guessing, wondering game. If you have an offensive line, you can cover it more easily. You can hide those problems. That's what makes, honestly, there's times I look back at last year and I'm kind of impressed they were like the 10th best offense for a huge chunk of the year. I'm like, how? They were throwing to no one but a rookie and what appeared to be an exhausted Travis Kelce and had zero protection, like on the left side of the line. I'm like, how were you an even functional offense is sometimes impressive for me.
Well, their defense so good, their offense wasn't forced to have to score 30 points a game.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. Or 28 points a game.
I'm just impressed that they were able to score the amount of points they scored. That's all. Like, it's not even just the outside of it. It's like, there are times in which I'm like, the 11th best offense actually wasn't all that bad considering some of the setbacks you had. That's all.
Coming up in 12 minutes, we'll check in with Cody Decker from the BetMGM Network. Of course, does a great job with baseball coverage. Also provides a little sports betting insight. Was in the Royals organization many years ago. Want to get his thoughts on the Royals, who are now 3.5 back in the wild card. And more importantly, 3.5 back from every single team in the wild card race. You're not just looking for the final wild card spot. Everybody's kind of come back to you a little bit. So a lot of work to do. They're going to have to keep playing at this pace, but we'll see if Cody thinks that is in play. One reason why they're even in this spot is out of nowhere, Noah Cameron continues to be one of the best pitchers in baseball. Not young, but best pitchers in baseball in 2025.
I know we're a day late on this because yesterday's show ended up getting busy with some other stuff, including a lengthy
FAU.
An FAU and all the other stuff. But Noah Cameron deserves another mention on this show, and honestly, nationally, from outside of it. Take the Rookie of the Year stuff out of it for just a moment, in which he's being still criminally
underrated. Nick Kurtz is underrated. Just so far on front.
Kurtz deserves to win it. All I'm saying is when they released the top three AL, or the top three Rookie of the Year potentials, his name better damn sure be on the list.
He's going to get votes, yeah. I mean, I don't know if they do for Rookie of the Year of top five. Like, MVP, you'll list all the way down to, like, 10. I don't know how, if Rookie of the Year lists 10 spots or not.
I don't think it's quite that high. But he better be on the list.
Yeah, I think he will get some votes. If the Royals, also, this is where the team aspect helps him. If the team, the rest of the way, can be in a true playoff push and maybe even get in the postseason, that would help his cause. People would notice it more. The Royals are, like we were just watching today, MLB Network out in the bullpen area. MLB Network was spent, 4 minute segment talking about the Royals, which is actually quite a bit for television. They spent 4 minutes talking about the Royals and going one by one, like, not just Bobby and Vinny and Mikel, but they were talking about Lugo and Noah Cameron and Michael Wacha, what they've been able to do. And so I think they're doing that because the Royals are now just 3.5 back and there's multiple teams that are coming back to the pack a little bit. But it's been very, very impressive. He's been someone that completely came out of nowhere for them and makes you feel a lot better, obviously, about next year's rotation too.
The way it works is that you have to have a certain number of qualified innings in order to qualify for the ERA title. He's not going to win it anyway. That title will belong to Paul Skeens, a guy who has a 2.16 ERA. If his ERA qualified amongst league starters, because he's not even that short, just a couple of innings short of that, he would have the 7th best ERA in baseball. I mean, behind pretty much all the guys you know. Tarek Skubal and Paul Skeens and others. He would be in that kind of category when we're talking about pitchers in Major League Baseball. He's been, at this point, a revelation. And the truth is that he's changed my opinion on what options they have available to them in the pitching staff going forward next year. We know right now they'll have Seth Lugo. They'll have Michael Wacha under contract for another year. Cole Reagan's under contract for another year. Wow, that's a pretty solid start to number three. Now you got Noah Cameron. I don't think, between that and the other guys who've been promoted, Ben Kuderna and some of the other guys available, I don't think they're going to have to go starting pitching
shopping.
It's
going to be all about the outfield.
Very much
in the offseason. All about the outfield in the offseason.
That gives you so much freedom. Noah Cameron is going to give you freedom to spend your resources on one of two things. Either big free agent signings or extensions you want to get done. Whether that be Vinny Pasquantino or Mikel Garcia, maybe you don't want to get either of those done. But whatever the deal is on the guys you want to keep here long term, those would be the two guys at the top of the list right now. You now have that under lock and key because Noah Cameron has been as good as he's been. I don't know. It was probably 3 starts into this. So I'll happily admit that I was waiting. Not waiting. I thought the other shoe was going to drop here, Gold. Did you? Like, I mean, let's... honestly, when I watched him start this way, I'm like, okay, but, you know, the strikeout numbers and all this other stuff. Now he's made 78 starts. He's pitched 100 innings, and he's got a mid-2 ERA. At worst right now, it looks like he's barreling towards a, you know, 3-4 starter in the NFL. With the way he's pitching right now, the upside being so much better, Gold, than what we're saying outside of that. And so I just felt like it'd be silly not to mention the fact that he's been pitching this well, because I really did think 3-4 starts into this thing, Gold, that he wasn't going to continue at this rate. It's kind of crazy. He's lowered his ERA since the beginning of June. So, like, he's been, like, it doesn't make any sense. He's just been better. He said what? Like, 2 bad starts all year?
Yeah.
One this month where he...
Yeah, like, when you saw his first start in Tampa at the Yankee spring training facility, basically, or whatever that day game was. When we first started that, and he had, like, the no-no going or whatever it was.
Gave up one hit.
We're like, oh, well, this is a nice surprise. We're like, okay, all right, sure. All right.
Dude, I mentioned Jimmy Gobble's debut is a bad sign.
Now you look back at it, they're like, oh, no, this... That was as real as ever, because he's now backed it up with 15 different starts.
He has given up 1 or 0 earned runs in a start this year. 11 of his starts have had either 1 earned run or 0 earned runs allow. So, like, when he's on, he's on. Like, he gives you a chance to win. And honestly, he's going to end up, if they make the playoffs, I'm not predicting that they will yet, but if they may...
Yeah, someone was texting in, do you still think they're done? If you're asking me, do I think they make the playoffs, my answer would still be no today. They're giving themselves a shot,
chance, yeah.
But no, my answer would still be no, because it still is 3.5 games, and it still is the Guardians, the Mariners, the Yankees, and the Red Sox all ahead of you.
And it's August 19th, yeah. So time is not on your side. If they end up making the playoffs this year, Noah Cameron is going to end up being the savior of the season, in my opinion. I'm not saying he's their best player, the most important player, the one. He's going to end up being the person who saved the playoffs for them, in my opinion. They lost Reagans, Lugo down for a time, other starters struggling, and Noah Cameron, the steady stalwart, the rookie somehow carrying through start after start. He's going to be the biggest reason why they saved a chance at being in the playoffs, which is crazy, yeah. And not something I was planning on saying at any point.
We'll get to another question on the text line maybe a little bit later. Someone asked, what are they going to do with Cole Reagans when they become available? Well, my guess is they'll do something with Berger. You know, he continues to play well, but they'll figure that out. A lot of it sorts itself out. I mean, there'll be something
else. Or you do six-man rotation.
Yeah, something always happens. Somebody else gets hurt or somebody doesn't perform well, and all of a sudden that kind of stuff.
Into the bullpen.
We can get into that more. Up next, Cody Decker from the BetMGM Network, former baseball player with the Royals organization as well, going to give us some insight on what he's seen from both the pitching staff and also the teams that are in front of the Royals. Who's most vulnerable that the Royals could catch? That's next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. No matter why you give, your donations can do so much more. With a donor-advised fund from DAF Giving 360, you can potentially grow your charitable dollars tax-free and give now or over time by donating cash, publicly traded securities, or non-cash assets like real estate and crypto. With over 25 years of expertise bringing donors, financial advisors, and charities together, DAF Giving 360 can help you make a greater impact. Learn more at DAFGiving360.org.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Game day or any day, your fit says it all. Hit up MLBShop.com for the latest jerseys, caps, hoodies, and accessories to keep you in the game all year long. Rep your team. Rep your city. Rep yourself. Gear up and game on at MLBShop.com, the official online shop of Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.